school?
What school?
Yeah.
I work at John Muir Elementary School.
You're at John Muir Elementary.
John Muir?
Yeah. I'm going to be leaving.
Where are you at?
Is Weecho still there?
I'm at Lincoln.
Yeah. And you're at Lincoln Middle School. And my daughter's at... I live right there. What's the one up on Montana? Franklin.
Franklin.
She's a fourth grader. Franklin.
You have another kid? Did
you?
No.
My daughter and my son.
Sophia?
Yeah. Just Sophia. Sophia's a teacher at...
She's a teacher?
I thought you meant...
She's a fourth grade teacher at...
I'm like, what the heck?
Why is the school keeper forgetting the name of the school?
Franklin.
She's a fourth grade. Yeah, she went and got her degree.
She's
yeah.
So little.
Hey, that's great. We got two. We got educators here.
My last day was at Will Rogers yesterday. I've been there. This would have been my 10th year.
Oh, oh wow! What?
Baby. Hey, you're gonna be a
this is great, right? Educate. Where are you at? Working for Ferrari.
Right? No, I'm working from home. I'm working for Providence Healthcare.
Okay.
For the hospital, so I do. Research
fighting. Oh, he wants us to stop right now because this is all stuff we're already gonna get on. I'm sorry.
The first thing that I would like to ask is what song when we introduce all of you?
You got intro song. What's the intro song for this?
For all of you.
50 Cent. Get Richard. I
try. Yeah. Damn.
Because we went to go see the movie. Right.
Right.
Hold on.
Damn.
Hey.
Hey.
I don't know what this sounds like anymore.
We could change it, but it's just.
No. Because
we went to the movies.
Yeah.
I'm like.
Hold on.
Remember, did we go to the recording studio? Did we see Travis? Where did we see Travis?
I
at the studio?
With Travis. When really? I was thinking up for this picture I sent you.
Yeah, I should have. You
really?
5 minutes late.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Yeah, they all went in there. Yeah, that was back. You remember when that was going down, Juman?
I
think
he's getting out of work from the
bank. Dang, I forgot about that too.
Yeah.
I just remember camping.
Yeah. Oh, I remember Cammy. I had Julie with me.
Specific song?
Yes.
That's the movie.
Boy.
I didn't even remember any of those.
Crazy.
I remember Julie.
Yeah, I remember Julie too. Yeah.
We all remember Julie.
Oh, so cute.
But that's just the name of the album, does it?
Yeah,
have...
right. There's a few songs in there.
Okay, hold on. Do you want In the Club, Many Men? High All the Time?
No.
I mean, you're not going to be able to hear without the earphones, the headphones. And we don't have enough. What?
What's the one with the girl?
The best friend one?
Girl.
Best friend.
Yeah.
That one? Would you love me now? Yeah, I like that. 21 questions. All right, that's the one. That makes sense.
That was in that album?
Yeah, girl.
New York City.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
All right.
Money.
Hold on. So now, listen, we got an issue here for a second.
Get the air going.
We got an issue here.
Oh, man. Is there air, really? Schwartz, it really is?
I
just saying it.
I'll turn it on. I think I know where it's at.
Yeah.
So you and I can hear what's going on as the recording. Your guys are only going to be hearing what's in the room.
Okay. Right.
Because... everything's on headphones. Now, there might be a pair of headphones over
there. There's two pairs of
somebody
headphones over there.
Somebody might be sitting on them.
And if you guys want, if somebody wants to, you'll have a little bit different of an experience.
So when we're talking to you, you'll hear us here. But if you want to put the headphones on, you can. If you want to share them to somebody else to give them a chance to hear what it is, you can. And then also be careful moving the mic around because we picked that sound up. Sound like it. All right.
So then, and then we're going to do the intro right now. If everybody could kind of keep their phone, turn them to silent.
Oh, yes.
My name? Let me tell you my name.
My ringer doesn't even work. It's always on silent. All right. You let me know.
You ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
Your brother faced with hard luck. Face with hard luck, pimps and card shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck. Your brother, face with hard luck. Card shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck. Pimps and card shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck.
Good morning and welcome to the Hard Luck Show. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you've tuned in to the greatest show on earth. It's the Hard Luck Show coming at you from the Pico Youth Center in Santa Monica, California. Sitting across from me, boy,
I sit alone in my four corner
is my partner and co-host,
Shoo, Muhammad, an American. American Indian, Southern Californian, elegant barbarian, and my mind is playing tricks on me once again. What's up? Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's 5 a.m. and it's time to get your motherfucking day started.
On sound, old Blue Eyes himself,
Sean Lewis.
Yeah, it's old
certified
school.
Audio professional engineer for the Hard Luck Show.
Professional.
Is that what
Android.
You feel like today? Is that what you feel like today?
I feel like that, yeah. Every day.
Run DMC. And we have our showrunner who kind of stepped out. Where's the showrunner? Schwartz. Schwartz is in the house. Schwartz is on the sidelines right now, but he's here. And then on visuals,
on
it's our man
visuals.
Ali. It's our man Ali on visuals.
Ali,
Ali
say what's up.
40 thieves.
Yo.
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 Ali on the visuals, you already know.
You already know. All right. And listen, folks, this is a reunion show at the Pico Youth and Family Center. I have on what used to be about 17 years ago a caseload of young ladies at the Pico Youth and Family Center. And I helped facilitate a mentorship program with a woman named Yolanda at work there. And I came there to try and help out some youth and maybe at-risk youth. And I ended up with these fantastic girls. You know, at the time, as a caseload, that I came and regularly, once a week, we would meet up and go to field trips or go to the park or just sit around and talk out different things and events and, you know, community stuff. And it went on for, I want to say it went on for like a year and a half or so, when, you know, and it was an amazing, amazing experience, something I'm very proud of being involved in. And me and Yolanda are kind of in the same, we still talk and run into each other every now and then. And we talked, and my partner had heard the story about this and was like, you need to get a hold of that. You need to set that up. We need to have them in. I was like, we absolutely do. So I reached out to Yolanda. Say hi, Yolanda, on the mic.
Hi.
Yeah. You hear that pretty voice?
That's Yolanda.
Hello.
De Cordova. Yes, the beautiful Yolanda, who was a facilitator, a coordinator here at Pico Youth and Family Center, along with Oscar De La Torre.
Oh, man of the people, Santa Monica leadership extraordinaire.
Yeah, what do you call that, somebody? Political figure? He's a political figure, this guy.
Right? I would say he's less of a political figure and actually a democratically elected voice of the people.
Yes, that's clear definition. Good. Exactly. So, again, me and Yolanda get to talking, and she's like, sure, we're going to make this happen. We're going to get all the ladies in together. And today, I have the extreme
privilege
of having these beautiful, now, ladies, women, beautiful women in my presence that were once girls, teenagers, and now they're ladies, man, with kids, like, professions, and doing all this, and it's, I'm overwhelmed right now.
Mr.
Maybe you can help me out.
Mr. and Mrs. Yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Earbuds, if you could see the smiles of recognition and happiness as they're watching Big Steve, Big Luck say all this,
they remember
how close they were on the edge and how their stories and leadership along with Big Luck help steer them in the right direction, make some healthy choices, empowered them. They're laughing. They're drinking Starbucks. It could have all been so different. So, Yolanda, before we get introduced, we have Yolanda. We have four ladies with Yolanda, and we're going to go down the row. Maybe what we should do first.
That's why he's my partner. He's good at this, you guys.
Yolanda, can you kind of just give us an idea of what the original thought was of this program?
Oh, yeah, sure. So, gosh, that was...
approximately, 19, yeah, 17
like
years ago.
Yeah, I think, gosh.
Pre-pandemic.
Sorry, yeah.
Totally. So the program, the Pico Youth and Family Center, the program was geared for pretty much advocating for kids who didn't have a voice or their parents didn't have a voice. So we kind of developed this after school program for that. And I just noticed that there was a lot of young men, and there was girls too, but the programs weren't focused to the females. So we just kind of meshed this group of young ladies, and I just started inviting them into my office, and we just started chatting, and it just became, we became family, and we became close where we did things outside of the youth center, and we just stayed in each other's lives.
So you had an office, Yolanda, here at the Pico Youth?
Yes, I was the office manager, so I was not technically a counselor or a therapist or anything like that. My job was to manage the actual program, the actual youth center.
Right.
Working with the city of Santa Monica. And then it just kind of geared, the pathway went a different route. So even though I was still in that role as the office manager, I was also being a mentor to these young women.
How did you become a mentor to these young women, or how were they selected to be here? Were they going to Santa Monica High School, which was real close? It's just a couple block down the street here.
Right. Yes, here. They would come to the youth center after school just to hang out, for them to be together. After school, instead of going home, they would come to the youth center and hang out.
So Yolanda, you're sitting there and you go, you know what? There's a lot of testosterone up in this Pico Youth Center, but there's also a lot of ladies that are the future of this the West Side, and we need to figure out something that supports them and what they need. And so you thought, you know, what would be one of the perfect individuals that would be able to help mold a young lady? And you said, you know what? Big Luck, Steve Lucky Luciano. How did that selection happen? How did you fix on that? She's squinting. She's not sure.
More like an Oscar kind of initiated some of that.
Yeah, well, when we first met Lucky, we were just kind of like in awe. Like,
okay, wait. Awe because why? Come
well,
on.
He was a very handsome man and very successful. Or he, well, still is. Tattoos. I think for us... people, the ones who were running the program saw him as a success.
Right.
He had a history.
Yeah.
And we knew that he would be perfect for the kids would relate. They would be able to relate more to him.
Right.
Than they would to us.
Did you find it difficult to find the words to even say hello, Big Lux? Were you that much in awe?
I'm still.
I see it. Yeah. Look at him trying to be humble. He's like, oh, come on. No, so my crazy. Partner gassing me up. Oh, my partner gassing me up. This is embarrassing. Hey, Indian, slow it down.
That's my girl.
That's why it's hot in here.
Yeah.
My God. Yeah. Listen, Steve. So, Big Lux. Okay, before we introduce to the ladies. So, now, is this the Dodge Silver pickup truck, Big Lux?
Yep. Yeah, I think I did.
All the girls are like, yeah. And so, do you recall Yolanda saying to you, you know, maybe you can share some insight with some of the people I'm working with?
No, I remember that it was, I think I came in originally with Arturo, RC, and Oscar had us come, and there was obviously these ladies there and some a few more, and there was a lot of guys, and we were like, all right, how are we going to do this? And I don't know, it wasn't said, oh, you guys are going with him, and you guys are going with him. It was kind of like the room kind of just started to naturally kind of sort itself out after Oscar kind of was like, hey, and we're going to, it was casual, and like the kind of group, and somehow I ended up in the center of all of these girls.
Boy, I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, but I went in there under a whole different idea. I guess my little ideas was, oh yeah, I'm going to work with some young men in my community.
Yeah. Now,
you know, not try and do anything but show them some other things and let them, you know, not push anything down anybody's door. Just share with them.
Right.
That's what I thought. And it ended up being that it just really, from the gate, these women resonated with me. I write kind of really early on. Yeah. It was like, there's a connection. Like, I'm interested in hearing what they have to say. And it seems to be back and forth. And what I'm doing might be something interesting in their world. And so, and it ended up kind of working. I think it's interesting. I'll tell you what's,
yeah.
just saying this and yeah. laying this out.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm
going to
be a little bit honest right now.
Just a little bit.
I think it's interesting that I would be in that situation because on a personal, very personal level in my life, I've had so many... difficulties, maybe we might
well,
say.
Well, let me.
I've had a lot of difficulties in relationships with women.
But like, let me also.
It's not been something easy for me.
Let
but
me,
yet.
Let me add a thing here, which is to say, yes, and also it's interesting because some of it comes from, I guess, being obligated to give emotional support, right, into certain individuals that kind of put you in a frame of mind like, you know, I don't want to be obligated. And then, but at the same time, the universe or however it worked out mm-hmm. set you up perfectly to give some support and good influence to young ladies that are coming up.
I
think that's fascinating, actually.
I do too. So
it's like kind of like me having a daughter.
And I say all that to say, I think a piece of me was like in this thing to maybe get a better understanding. Of, you know, a woman's point of view, being able unguarded and not have to be all that and listen. I think there were things paralleling with my daughter, yeah. you know. I
right.
wanted to, like, experiment. I had spent some time in prison. And,
right.
And I wanted to kind of get, like, some other information. So I think there were some selfish, maybe, reasons in it, maybe.
I don't know if that's selfish.
That's selfish, but, you know.
Human. It's just human, man.
But, and I grew up in I did grow up in a household with women. I grew up primarily with my mom and my sister, you know? So I kind of have, that dynamic isn't yeah. an unfamiliar dynamic to me, mm-hmm. you know? It's easy, it's not difficult for me to, the problem with me with women is the intimacy stuff.
Right.
But the social level and engaging with women,
right.
that's a comfortable place for
right,
me.
From like a mentorship standpoint.
Anything that's not intimate. Right, kind of like, right?
All
right,
so now I'm watching Yolanda wrong. Take mm-hmm. this in with real curious
eyes.
We got
to do some introductions soon.
Yeah, okay, all right, we'll move on. That's very interesting. Okay, all right, I got the hint. That's how my bond, and that's why he's the Joe. All right, here we go. So, all right, so Yolanda, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 ladies that are to your left, and we're going to need to pass the mic, I think, to have them introduce.
But before we do that, can yeah. I just tell a quick story?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I won't
that's
say
what this
name.
Is about.
Please
I
do.
Won't say it. But it's kind of how we all came together. So these girls, one day after school, there was like a big old fight. With the girls. A bunch of girls. And they all came in like, you know, I'm like, come outside. Like, all this stuff was happening. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on? So anyway, I had to intervene and put these, very uncomfortable because these girls who hated each other,
yeah.
I had to put them, sit them down in a room together
right.
and hash things out. And I think that was probably one of the pivoting moments where I knew, one, that's how we became together or
right.
we came together
right.
but two is when I thought, okay, we need to do something more for these young women aside
okay.
from just
okay.
coming to hang out.
So without saying anything, are the two ladies that were ready to throw down in this room
yes.
right now?
Wow.
Let me check.
Yeah. Hey. Hey. Oh, easy.
No, I'm
hey.
Sorry.
Easy.
Yeah.
Hey, Schwartz, get the gloves. Get the gloves, Schwartz.
Different group of women, but it was these girls against another group of girls.
Oh, all right. So you guys are all on the same squad.
Yeah, now that makes
all right,
sense.
Okay.
Somebody was going to get.
Well, there was. Yeah, that was almost going to get.
Her
okay, oh, hold on, okay. We're the only ones here.
So, hold on. Lady one, the fighter. Schwartz, can you please move, Schwartz? This is showrunner stuff.
You're fine, partner. You're fine.
Sorry to hear you.
Go ahead. Please introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Yvonne.
Yvonne,
yes.
and you're one of the ones that would have actually thrown down and
no,
fought?
No, it actually wasn't me. No.
I don't okay. remember. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that yeah, part. All right.
And she's not going to incriminate herself.
Yeah, of course.
I know who the other person is.
All right. And then lady number two, who claims that she doesn't remember. I don't know. Yeah. Can you please introduce yourself?
Bibiana, or Bibi.
And BB.
I'm BB.
Yvonne's yeah. older sister.
That's why I said yep. we're the only ones that actually fight, but it was a joke.
Okay.
Kind of.
And then lady number three, you can go on that mic that's right there in front of you.
I'm Maria, but everyone calls me Mary.
Since Mary.
I was like, I don't know, born.
Mary, so Mary.
You know what they call that? They call that your name. All right. And then lady number four with the glamorous sunglasses. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Angela, but go by Angie.
Okay, so, all right, we got Yvonne, BB.
This room, yes.
Mary and Angie. Do I got that right?
Yep. This okay. room is just full of good energy right now.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. I okay. feel it too.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to add one more. I'm going to add one more piece to this.
Go ahead.
This also, there were a few things. This also kind of came on the heels of some stuff had gone down at Santa Monica High School. There had been some racial tensions, right? And so I guess there was a couple different fights that had broken off into like racial driven fights. So
yeah.
Oscar calls me, and Oscar was like, his intention was, hey man, maybe we could come down and we could go into Santa Monica and go over to the campus because a lot of the kids respect you and cartoon at the time, and maybe you guys could roll down and talk to some of these kids and let them know, man, you know, that's not how it's going to work in the real world.
Right.
That these guys can't have that's something else. That type of race, this, it's not going to work in the real world. Now, we get along with everybody because we want to work in the real, like that whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Kinda share that with them. So we're like, yeah, okay, cool. So me and Toons go down and we meet Oscar. And I remember that day, and we walked onto campus with Oscar, and we engage a group of kids, and we're talking with them. We move it over towards the quad, and right then, from the principal to the, they call the police officers, and now the whole thing, they position this thing as like, we were there as shot callers for the Chicano guys to back them up or get them. Think about how that sounds.
Right.
Think about the director, one of the school board members and the director of the Pico Youth and Family Center is going to bring some gang members to the Santa Monica High School, shot callers, is what they were trying to label it, and go incite a riot, pump up students to further escalate this race riot.
But in attention. Reality, you guys were there to try to help
defuse
them understand
and slow down and yeah, all of it, dude. Right. So we were escorted quickly off of, or they tried to escort us quickly and out one way, and me and Oscar was like, nope, we're going out that way. Arrest us. And they were like, no, you're going out that way. He's like, no, we're not. And then we walked on, and they were yelling at us the whole time. We walked. And we were escorted off of the fucking property and told we couldn't come back in and all sorts of stuff. So that was one of the reasons that I was starting to engage more. And a lot of there was black and brown young males that were discontent with how things were left and what was going on there. And some of it was being voiced here. So I think it was another reason me and my buddy Arturo were kind of starting to engage some of the students, and then that turned into so much more.
Right.
Yeah.
So Yvonne, can you please walk us through first seeing or meeting Big Lux and sort of what you were going through at that time?
I think I remember exactly.
Can you get on the mic, please?
Yeah. Exactly how Lucky said. I remember them telling us all to go into like what was like the main room of the PYFC, and it was around like the time that the riots were going on, and just talking to Lucky, I'm not sure who the other
Arturo.
Yeah, Steve has that kind of that's his one of the qualities. You remember talking to him and you don't really remember anyone else. But wait a second. So how do you recall like what the meeting was like, what your impressions of Big Lux were at that time?
Yeah, I respected him immediately, I think, because like he just presents himself that way. So yeah, that's
my impression. And what were you going through personally at that time? Anything that you felt like were some challenges that you were gonna have to overcome or face?
Yeah, school was a challenge. School and the race riots and all that going on. It was like, it was a lot.
What made school a challenge for you?
Just conflict with people. I think we were kind of labeled, not like students and teachers and admin, as like troublemakers. Yeah.
And what would make them label you that? What were they assuming about you based on what?
Maybe the people we hung out with. Yeah.
And who did you hang out with? I'm trying to get down to it, Yvonne.
Well, I think because we would come to the PYFC, we were around a lot of, people would say, at-risk youth, you know?
Right, right.
And people from the Pico neighborhood, underprivileged, and we all know what that could look like.
Yeah. Well, you say that, but I know a lot of people that know that love Santa Monica and visit the beach, and they've been down to the pier, and they don't think that there's any underserved or underprivileged people here on the west side
they,
or any kind
they of come
thing.
Straight down Pico and then go to the beach and then go back home.
Right. So what's the reality of Santa Monica then? What's the real? From your experience. Just from your experience.
Well, my experience is mostly in the Pico neighborhood, and it was completely different from what some of the some of my peers were going through in school.
Different in what way specifically?
I think we weren't as privileged. We didn't have as much money as some of the kids. There was like a language barrier with my parents.
Your parents spoke Spanish?
Yeah.
Were they first generation or
no? They were immigrants. Yeah.
From where?
Mexico.
¿Y hablas español?
Sí, claro.
Sí, yo también, pero estoy aprendiendo español. Soy un gabacho.
We're talking about the dynamic of growing up in Santa Monica with a lot of privileged kids and
feeling kind of put off to the side. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Right. Okay. Right. So now, Bibi. Okay, please move the microphone over to your sister, Yvonne, if you would so kindly do the...
I got one here. I think this one's good.
Is that good? Yeah. Okay, lean into that one.
Yes.
And please describe your impression when you first saw and met with Big Lux.
I don't remember the first time I don't know. I don't remember this meeting we're talking about, but I just remember, like, looking up to Lucky. Like, he was so confident. He seemed so successful. I know he had, you know, gone through some stuff in his life. And he was just like a big role model to us. Like,
what kind of things that Big Lux do that were things that you admired or you like, I'm going to live up to that?
Well, back then he was working for Famous, and we wore that brand before we met Lucky, and we're like, oh my God, this guy like knows celebrities. He works with this big clothing brand. And I don't know, he was just, you know, hanging out with Mr. Cartoon and all these other cool guys. And I was like, oh my God, Lucky is so cool. And then I remember when we were in this group, like, I don't remember exactly how we were chosen to be in this mentorship group with you. But I remember after, like, everyone wanted to join. And they were like, oh my God.
But the gates were closed.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Guy can't help everybody. Yeah. He's just one man. Good Lord.
Yeah.
All right. And so do you recall anything that you learned from Big Lux that stuck with you?
I just, you know, learned that you can change. Like, you know, he gone through some stuff. I don't remember you telling us specifically what had happened. I think you did mention, you know, you were incarcerated or something like that. But, you know, like that doesn't have to be like what you're known for. Like, you could come out of that, you can be successful.
And so you were nodding when your sister was talking about sort of the dynamic of the Pico neighborhood and then Santa Monica High School.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you feel like should be said or it's important to note for Mr. and Mrs. Earbuds that don't have any experience with this? Is there anything that you'd like to put out there to say, this is what it was really like? This is the struggle.
Well, for me, it was just feeling out of place. Like, I always remember in school, like,
after like spring break, summer break, like, oh, where did you go? Like, where did you guys go? And I was like, I didn't, like, it made me feel so small.
I went to Ensenada.
I didn't even go to Ensenada. I didn't go anywhere. I was home. My parents had to work. They couldn't take vacation. They didn't have money to take us anywhere. Like, if it wasn't for us coming here to the Pico Youth Family Center, like, we wouldn't have gone, like, to Big Bear. We wouldn't have gone out, like, to museums, like, different places. Like, that was not a part of my... And it makes me want to cry. Like,
yeah, please do. It's good. It's good for downloads. Please cry. Please cry.
Summed up right there. That's like exactly summed up. Exactly what a place like this should be for, and it was.
And that was one of the main purposes of getting together, whether it was weekly, daily, was because we knew. There were the girls had never been to Big Bear, or how often do they get to go to the movies with each other? And those were the little things for us. They were little things, but for them, it was huge. Yeah.
What was it like for you to go to Big Bear?
Oh my God, it was so much fun!
What did you do?
We rented out a house. We even had a big cabin. You know, we went
to the lake, hiking, swimming.
We watched movies together, barbecuing.
Fire.
Like, as a traditional, like, I don't even know how my parents let us, but you know, you're not allowed to go over to your friend's house and sleep over. So it was like an opportunity for all of us, you know, to get together and sleep over and watch movies. And I think, you know, our parents kind of trusted these leaders that worked here. So they were like, okay, they're going to take care of them. They're going to make sure everything's okay. Everything's going to be paid for. Like, we didn't have to pay for a thing. Like,
no. And they had to sign releases, though.
We had to sign releases.
Don't forget the legal.
So let me ask you. And you have to convince your parents to sign on.
Oh, I remember. We were like, you had to get that sign. And, like, somebody didn't have, some other people didn't have their sign. And we were like, you better have it signed by
you.
So your parents were strict.
Very strict. Very traditional.
And what jobs did they do? What was
My mom was like a babysitter. She cleaned houses. And my dad, I think he worked for like a company where they repair like glass fiber tubs.
Didn't he do some kind of clothing? You guys would bring me some really nice clothes.
Yeah, it was my uncle.
So I want to note that, because I think for a lot of parents who really have to work, both parents are working, right? And they have kids and they're trying to instill good values in their kids. So they're saying, no, you can't go spend the night at so-and-so and whatever. And then for them to recognize, like, actually getting out of the city, going up to the mountains where there's a lake, right? So my daughters can toast some marshmallows, tell a couple scary stories, jump in the hot tub.
It's just as important.
It's really important, right? For the American dream. Okay, so sitting next to you, lady number three, is Mary. Yes. Maria?
Yes.
Okay.
You bugging?
¿Y recuerdas cuando cuando es usted encontré Big Lux?
O cuando conocí a Big Lux?
Sí.
Just flexing.
Go ahead and flex. I need to learn.
I'm kidding. Same thing like Viviana. I don't really remember the exact moment, but I remember I was always with my friends and I loved being with them. So whatever group they were going to be in, I was going to be a part of it too.
Right.
I didn't know what it was. I'm like, all right, let's go.
Right.
And I think one of the biggest reasons why I was always at the Pico Youth and Family Center was because I didn't like to be at home. Mm. I had my own issues in the house.
Right.
And my mom just was just like, yeah, go with your friends, go do whatever you want. And yeah, that's why I ended up there so much myself.
Right. And so what was it that you saw in Big Lux that you thought was admirable or showed you another perspective?
The way he carried himself, definitely. Like the way he would just like walk into the room, the way he would just greet people, the way he just made you feel special. And I think also his size too. You know, we're like 17, we're like... Yeah. We're like small, tiny, and we're like, oh my gosh, look at this big man.
It's funny to hear somebody else.
You know what
that's
I mean?
So funny.
And
I love that. We're all a part of that lifestyle.
Yeah. So,
but all the guys that we hung out with, they're all knuckleheads.
Yes.
They're,
right.
They're,
right.
They all had like three screws loose in their heads.
What's a typical screw that's loose in a knucklehead?
Common sense. Even simple things like drinking water.
Walking and drinking water at the same time.
Yeah, that's enough. That's
right. You're going to dehydrate. No, I won't. All right. And so you knew Yvonne and BB back then?
Yes.
Okay, and what kind of stuff were you guys getting up to? Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Statute of limitation.
I remember this one time, all the knuckleheads, they left their skateboards like just like randomly out in front of the Pico Youth and Family Center. Yeah. And us girls, we all took their skateboards. We took it down Michigan and up 16th and down Delaware. Yeah, and a few days later, they're like, someone stole our board. And we're like, we're not going to say a damn thing. We kept those skateboards. So we would get into things like that, you know, just walking the streets of Santa Monica, going to the Pico Youth and Family Center, hanging out. And I feel like if the youth center wasn't there, like, where would we be?
We'd be on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was like that, man. Mm-hmm. They were here, man. And there were some guys, too. Yeah. There was a group there. They were here, man.
Yeah.
We would have closed this place down. Like, we were like, all right, we got
to
go.
We'd be like, I have to go home.
Yeah.
Like, come on, let's go.
Yep. And Yoli would take us home a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. She would drive us all home.
See, Yoli. Yeah. That good karma in your life.
Oh, thank you.
So, Mary, do you have friends that didn't go to the Pico and Youth Center? And do you see where their life went?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
People that did not go to the youth center, but I'm still friends with them?
Well, I'm just trying to ask you. So you were here, and that gave you a chance to meet Big Lux. Did you see people who didn't, for whatever reason, they either wasn't available or they chose not to?
Yeah, the other group of girls that we were trying to fight.
Oh, wow.
They weren't really allowed.
Yeah, they weren't really allowed to go in there. And I want to say the majority of them ended up pregnant when they were young, or they were just like, you know, known for other reasons than fighting women, you know? So they had a whole other kind of reputation. And I feel like maybe if they did, maybe if they had the doors open to them, maybe they wouldn't have like... would have clung to a man, or you know, felt like they needed to be in the relationship, and maybe their life would have been a little different,
you know. That's interesting. What is the problem with clinging to a man? You said that and all the women nodded. What is that example? What does that mean?
Just going to them for all the support that you may need, like instead of getting advice from like a elder or like someone a little bit more mature that's been there, done that, they're gonna go to their boyfriend who is like about their age, who's not gonna give them advice that come on, teenage boy, what do they want to do? I'm so sorry. All they want to do is just bang.
One thing.
You know, they want one thing.
Yeah, teenage girls don't want any of that.
Yeah. I for sure didn't. I was like, no. Stay away, Satan.
Why did you not?
She made a cross.
Yeah, she did. Why were you so clear on that at your age?
Oh, my mom. Her name is Yolanda, too.
But her name is Mary, goddamn. Her name is Mary.
Like, she is... like Selena Yolanda.
Right.
Minus the killing. But she's right there. But my mom like engraved it into my head that if I had sex before I ever got married, I was going to go straight to hell. Yeah. And she told me that. I want to say maybe I was like 3-4 years old. And she told me that. So I thought that my entire life. And then I got a little older. I fell in love. And
you went to hell.
Yeah, and then I went to hell. No, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Still there.
She named her after a virgin, for Christ's sake, bro.
She did.
All right, so lady number 4 with the glamorous glasses, right?
Yes.
I wish they could see them.
Angie.
They're going to. You're on camera. Oh,
yeah. They're butterfly.
This is all being filmed.
There's a camera right there. There's a camera.
Nice.
Beware of going in.
Oh, my God. Wait. This
is a real show. This ain't no following the Kim Kardashians or whatever that shit is, all right? So you're wearing what look like butterfly glasses. I believe they are given to you by Elton John.
And BB, before we go too much further.
More Mariah Carey, for sure.
Right.
I'm sorry. Oh, wait a minute. I like what's going on with your fingernails. You got a lot going on there, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. What is going on there? I can't see from over here. I'm an old man.
a little eye.
Okay. I was just noticing she got a lot going on with the fingernail. Okay.
So, Angie, do you recall sort of your first impressions or your experience in meeting Big Lux?
Yeah, I'll go with Yolanda. I thought you were handsome.
Finally some honesty in this place. Come on.
I'm going to keep it real.
Right.
I mean, I looked up to gangsters when I was that young.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be real about that. Tattoos are really impressive for me.
Right.
Yeah, the confidence. Yeah. Who you were connected with was really, really impressive, considering like who we were hanging out with. I was like, this is cool.
And what was it? Was there anything actually surprising that you experienced or learned from Big Lux that you might not think that you would learn from somebody that appeared the way Big Lux appeared?
I would say his consistency to keep showing up with us week after week. And just impressing us with his time and attention, his curiosity to get to know us, and just the gifts he gave us. He was just so giving. Mm-hmm. And that was really beautiful to feel that from a male in our life.
From a
that
man.
Wasn't like a father figure.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
Hold on a second. Let's not gloss over this. Big Lux. Big Lux. Uh-huh. You're a tower of strength. We all know that.
This is why he's my partner, really. Right?
All right. But yes, you're hearing these women talk about how you made an impact on their lives.
Yes.
How does it feel?
I mean, I didn't know at the time, but it feels fantastic. I mean, this is the reason I want to have the show. I wanted to get a perspective today. I have many thoughts of like what happened and what we did and different things. But I always think to myself, at times, I wonder what's going on, you know? I wonder what's going on with Bibiana. Or, you know, what happened to Mary? What's she doing, you know? So to have them back on, I wanted to hear that. But then some of the things that they're saying, they're reminding me of things maybe I don't even remember. Or they're letting me know things that I was maybe not sure of or I wanted, you know? So hearing this stuff is interesting to hear. I like it.
But how does the person Big Lux feel when he hears women saying, like, you know, his consistency? Something I...
My ears perked up because there's a lot of people on this planet that would put an IN before that consistency, because I've been inconsistent in a lot of areas in my life. So it reminds me that I can be consistent when something's important. That's what I hear, you know? Like with this show, we're consistent.
Well, man, that's for real.
And I also feel like I know how to be consistent. That's what that reminds me, that I know how to be consistent, man, with a lot of things in business and, you know?
You know what? And now we have these ladies here, and I think ladies should hear this, but now that we're talking about this, do you find that it's hard for you to accept these compliments?
No, not from these ladies. Because with something like this, I don't feel like it was like some bullshit. Like whatever they're telling me, it was because I was there and we formed a friendship and it was over consistency and time. So I'm not unclear on what they're telling me. I know it's not a lie. I know it's not made up. That really happened. We were really there. These exchanges really happened. So it's not hard for me. It's hard for me to except sometimes when people compliment me on some shit that's like, it kind of fell down that way. I didn't do anything for it, you know? So, no, it doesn't. Hey, I get a little bit shy. You start calling me handsome over and over.
Why does that make you shy when it's...
And the other thing was, when I was going in there, all I was doing was going in there. I wasn't trying to go in there and seem cool. I wasn't trying to go in there and flat. I was going in there to just kind of share with them and show them how big the world was and what's possible, or hopefully that maybe in their lives they'll look back and see the value of taking time. I wanted to show them that you can be cool and have it going on and still show up in your community.
Did your daughter Sophia meet them?
Of course, yes. Man. My you daughter got... and my son.
I remember meeting your dog. Her little puppy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She went camping with us.
She went.
Yeah.
She was so tiny. She was so cute. So young.
Yeah, she remembers too. My son passed through, and he knew. And I was saying that to Schwartz out there. Like, my kids knew that. They knew that I was here. They understood what was going on, that I came here after school, and, you know.
What did you guys think of Vincent Luciano? Was he personable? Was he handsome? Because he's a handsome dude, right?
He was a lot
now.
Younger. He was a lot younger than he was. I think several grades younger than them, right?
Uh-huh. He's the younger one.
No, he's Sophia's older. The baby.
Sophia's the younger.
We didn't really hang out with.
They're in different.
I think he came probably just once or twice, but it was probably during the day before school let out. Because
He's a lady killer now.
And I think, I think that was
boy. Yeah. See, Yolanda's saying it in her face. She's got a face of like shot, like she saw the beard of God. She's like, oh, he was a handsome young man.
I've seen pictures of him. My son was in junior high though when I was doing this. I don't even think he was in high school yet.
Is he Eric's age? Is he
29?
He's 29. Yeah, because he hung out with Eric.
He just turned 29.
They actually, the kids came to my house one time. Remember, I babysat.
Right. So they were.
So they hung out with my son.
Right. It was her son. So different age group.
26 now. Yeah.
Different age group.
So now, ladies, what I'd like to do is I'd like to turn it over to a man who's part machine, cyborg, an android, old blue eyes. He loves it when I put the spotlight on him.
Yeah.
He can't wait to talk and share his feelings. So why are you shaking? Listen. This is a serious,
like the second show. You're like, yeah, I'll call on Sean.
And ladies, I just want you to notice that there's a microphone.
I'm busy enough with the faders, man.
Listen, you got a microphone in front of you.
Okay.
All right.
What do you want to know?
Okay.
Ask your question.
Please, if I could.
Go for it.
Let me.
Come on.
All right.
Let's go.
Here we go.
All right.
You're kind of removed from the entire situation, and you're seeing this happen in real time in front of you, and you know Big Lux the way you know him up to this point. What are your observations? What are you seeing?
Boy, I love it when I see Lux blush.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Look at him. He's pinching his chin,
covering
his eyes.
Oh, it's like a different version of Lux.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it. Oh.
Stop it some more.
Yeah. Oh. Hey. Oh, thank you.
I really wasn't like that. Yeah. Oh, please stop it some more.
You know what? I didn't know that you mentored kids. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So, and hearing this, that they have a positive experience of you. And you know what? I've never, I mean, not that I would be in a position to be mentoring anybody.
Yeah.
But
why not?
But how...
You have a son.
How selfless is that to give up your time and then come in and you know, have the heart and the energy to put forward and dedicate some time to people. And they said he was consistent.
Right.
And man, so key, bro. It is so key to display that to other people because consistency, that's a lost art. It's a fucking lost art.
I agree upon.
Some people say that art was never learned by a huge segment of the population.
Fucking hey, bro.
You know, I want to say something. I want to give a shout out to not only Oscar, but I also want to give a shout out to Yolanda because I had worked with men and some women. Hi, Mike. Nice to see you. Michelangelo Photography.
Right.
I had worked with some men and women, but I hadn't worked with any youth ever. And I remember Oscar, and I don't know if Yolanda was in the room at the same time, but early on, he's like, hey, check this out, man. When you decide to work with youth, one of the most important things that you can do is continue to show up. Like, you can't. These kids will get invested in you, man. Like, if you show, and the worst thing is for you to be consistent for a short amount of time and then not showing up, man. So you need to be clear before we get really into this.
Understand.
And I didn't even understand that. You see, that's where I'm so lost on some things, you know, and I just heard him. I was like, wow. And I really made it like extremely important. No matter what, I need to keep showing up. And I think that maybe I kept that as like the main thing. I mean, yeah. So,
can I say something?
Yeah.
When we were talking about this before the show, we were like, the most important thing and the thing that stood out was, you know, that he showed up. And we didn't really have a lot of people showing up for us like that, especially men, you know. As women, we didn't have like a consistent man showing up for us.
That's fun. That's an interesting observation, because I actually hear that a lot from women. It's like men are just, can be just so inconsistent. They can be, and a lot of women feel very, you know, I won't say which man in their life or whatever. It might be different for different women, but it seems like a lot of them feel somewhat disappointed. Does that resonate with you ladies about certain individuals or certain males that you may have wanted to rely on and you go, man, that was disappointing. I thought.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So.
I'll tell you something, though, man. I will say is that I also, and later on, realized I like treating my daughter. I treat my daughter as a lady, right?
Yeah.
And I like to give my daughter things and gifts and stuff. And in my head, I'm like, I'm the guy that can give my daughter something and doesn't expect to get in her pants or want something from her.
Right.
I'm completely able to give it to her and she knows it's coming and there's nothing attached to it, right? And I felt that in ways here. I was able to give these girls something and not want something from them.
Right.
And as a woman, a young lady, and you're starting to turn into a woman,
yep,
there's a lot of males around.
Yeah,
and they are like fucking. I hate to say it, man, but sometimes they're like fucking sharks.
Right.
And I felt like, they should be able to receive something with a man not wanting something in return from them. And I felt like I wanted to exercise that sometimes with them.
I think you're preaching to the choir, because I think these ladies know probably better than anybody else that a lot of guys that come through got an ulterior motive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you hear that? Oh, yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Earbuds. That was like.
And not have, I don't know, man. You can't.
No, it's true. I grew up like with my dad not being around. Mm-hmm. I have a stepdad, but he was like the quiet man on the couch. Yeah. That,
same with my dad.
Yeah, couldn't say anything. Just leave. Left me alone.
I'm tired from work.
So it was nice to see someone there for.
Think about that. What she just said. You're gonna marry a woman, come into her life with a kid. But you're going to choose to be the silent guy on the couch.
Yeah, I think about that.
I'm not trying to down or put anything, but I'm just saying, like, that sounds crazy to me that you're going to marry somebody with a child and not be prepared to, like,
I'm going to say this.
Step up.
This is what I'm going to say, and I'd like to hear your guys' opinion on it. Sure. I'm going to say that we have a system that's been set up to wear people out at work. And to allow people to escape their other responsibilities to their family.
Speak on that, too,
by going to work. And it's almost as if the culture is permeated with a concept that so long as you come in and donate your time to the company, you're forgiven for drinking at home and not being there for your kids. Can you guys speak to that at all? Does that resonate? What do you think?
I mean, absolutely. I'm thinking just like how capitalism really breeds on a lot of, especially immigrant families. Mm-hmm. Like my family migrated from El Salvador, and I was definitely someone who benefited from a space like Pico Youth and Family Center, because they didn't have time to pick me up right after school. I didn't have nowhere to go. Definitely exhaustion, fatigue, depression, things that they don't know how to name it. Yep. So much trauma in their migration story. El Salvador, right? They migrated here from a civil war.
Right.
Which is still something they're making sense of now.
Right.
And processing out, you know, and I'm still trying to like get pieces from them and trying to like make sense of it now that I'm a mental health therapist. Yeah. But all of that, it's trickled down, right? So, as a child, they didn't know how to relate. They didn't know how to give me time, be curious about.
But they hadn't even gotten over it for themselves.
They didn't receive it themselves either.
So they have no idea where to begin.
No modeling, no understanding to do that.
And let's really be clear, because my wife is first generation Guatemalan. Okay, so her mom is from the old country.
And came here and was cleaning houses, right?
And until she... Yeah,
same. Yep. My mom, too.
Okay. But I want to say this, and I think this is a piece that's kind of missed a little bit, and that is the countries that people come from are still capitalist Western countries. So even in the old country, there's not any tools. You have wealthy that are, you know, taking advantage of the impoverished.
Right,
and
so
they're leaving that situation, which is just worse than the situation that's in the United States, perhaps. And so, like you said, there's no tools. There's no language. My experience of the Latin culture has been that work is all pervasive. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the most important thing. They're going to work.
They need to survive. They have to work. There's no options. Yeah.
Right. And the reason why they have to work and have to survive is because colonialism set up structures.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter what country you're
brown.
In.
It's about how brown you are. You're going
to
work.
Right. And in order to survive, right, that takes precedence over other areas of development in the experience of being a human.
Yes, man. They set up like that.
Yes. And then so it can be very difficult because I'm kind of asking you now that you are educated in the field of mental health. Yeah. How hard is it to try to talk to somebody from the immigrant experience and try to get them to connect with, you know, hey, maybe you're feeling down or depressed, or maybe there's this or maybe there's that. And they're like, I'm not crazy. Like they there's no language for them to accept that I can talk about these quote unquote negative feelings without it coming off as I'm weak. What's your experience with that?
Well, definitely part of my job is destigmatizing and really finding, because also in Spanish, it's a different way to even talk about mental health. It's
how
different.
So? Right.
You have to use their culture. Language.
But it's
right?
A whole different, it's not even in the culture, really.
It's not even in it. We're still figuring out as professionals, like, okay, how do we translate in the same way they would understand it? And also translate to how we know it as a profession.
Right.
I didn't think of that.
It's difficult still, but I think there's more talk about it, definitely more education about it.
Yeah.
We're trying to destigmatize it, trying to make connections, right? I focus on the behavior, like, and I find opportunities to always just kind of name it. Like for my dad, sometimes he had COVID in 2020, he was hospitalized. That was a traumatic experience for him. For him to think that it wasn't traumatic is so interesting to me.
Oh, he can't
accept
it. But
I'm like, that's traumatic, that you were almost going to die? And so
listen,
I'm bringing it back.
I have in-laws, all right? I get that because I'm still married and I got to make sure I do this the right way so that I can sleep at night. I have in-laws who clearly got sick with COVID, didn't go to the hospital, but were down for the count. Right. In a way that I've never seen before.
Right.
Then later in conversation, they're like, oh, I wasn't sick. What do you mean? I go, I've never seen you in bed for like blah, blah, blah. And they're like, it was a headache. Yeah. That was all it was. And there's a refusal to admit.
And they go to work.
Yeah.
Sick,
well, they just need to bounce back because that's part of the culture, too. They don't have opportunity to just have sick days, downtime. My dad's like, oh, I already forgot about it. I was like, how the fuck are you going to forget about that? You were in a hospital. I was like, no, let's just continue talking about it because this is really big piece of your life journey.
I'm seeing, and you know, tell me if I'm crazy, Angie, but I am seeing a sitcom or a series about a educated Latinx or however you want to do it, right? A daughter who is trying to help, you know, relatives and bridge, right, that translation. And I'm definitely seeing that there, on some levels, there could be very dramatic, emotional elements and some humorous ones, and where you're like, look, that's not that, that's this. Do you have any examples where you're like, Dad, listen, do you have an example that's funny or one that's poignant that you could say like, yeah, I tried to explain, you know, what veganism was, and he was like, what?
I'm trying to think. With my dad. Yeah, my dad's
or
a funny one.
Were you vegan for a minute?
I was vegan.
Did he understand that?
Yeah, you know.
What did he say?
That's the thing.
What did he say?
He didn't even... See, my dad was like the dad on the couch too, very absent emotionally. Dads,
Right.
I feel very not emotionally available. Yeah. So, if anything, I don't know if it's funny. I think it's sad.
Right.
A lot of my stories are much more sad than I... But, I mean, that's... You know, we could think about resilience as well within trauma, right? And I think our families are extremely resilient.
Yeah.
To the point, though, it's a fine line. Sometimes, like, are you just forgetting so you just won't feel and numbing the pain, numbing the memories? Or are you really, you know, just trying to move forward with your life? You know, it's a hard line. And so many of us, pain is really hard to sit with.
Yeah.
Our relationship to pain is pretty challenging to sit with. So I know it's going to take a long time for a lot of our families to make sense of trauma, especially right now, because we're collectively traumatized.
Right. And so just maybe you ladies can talk a little bit about this. So there was some marginalization that went on in the high school, by the way. Yeah. People made assumptions and decided they're going to pigeonhole you in certain categories.
Yeah.
Here we are, 2021, right? We almost have self-driving cars, and we got Bitcoin floating all around.
Yep.
And we just went through what might have been maybe the most racist, the most 2022. Sean just informed me that I'm a year off. It's 2022. Thank you. All right. And what do you guys make of the state of affairs when somebody like Trump can come out on a platform of we got to stop Mexico from ruining our country?
Oh, God.
Seriously, what were you guys going through as young people? What were you thinking about? Mary, I see you thinking.
I'm trying to, you know, it's just when he started saying all his, you know, racial slander and people started agreeing with him and they started acting on it when they're like out in the streets, out in the stores. I think people just felt like it was okay to say mm-hmm. what they were thinking already. I feel like racism never left. It's just people mm-hmm. just got better at hiding it.
Yep.
Right.
And Trump made it okay, quote, like I'm doing air quotes, okay for anyone who is not okay with immigration mm-hmm. to come out and say something, or just like white supremacists, he made them feel like they had a voice.
Mm-hmm. He gave them the green light.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He
basically
set the example.
Be racist.
It's interesting because you guys were dealing with this kind of thing in high school, and now here we are in the quote unquote real world, and it's back again at a national level. Like you said, it never really left, but he's trying to normalize that kind of talk at the public level of discourse, which seemed to be, I think, and you know, I found that there were some people, I'll just say for me, of color that I knew that backed Trump. Did you guys ever encounter anybody where you're like, how can you be a Trump supporter? BB, you said it in such a way where you were like, oh man, what do you have an experience with that? Or what are you thinking about when you shake your head and just look crazy?
I just know one of our friends, like our pretty close friends, their dad, like nobody would even ask him. And he'd be like, I'm voting for Trump. And he never told it to me. He told it to my dad. And then my dad told me, I'll tell you guys later who the person is. I don't know if you guys know. And I'm just like, how ignorant are you? Like, do you know that if he doesn't care about you, he doesn't care about anyone who's of color? Like, it's just, I don't understand it. And sometimes I don't even want to go there. Like, to me, like, I avoid stressful situations and stress. And I'm like, why are we even talking about this? There's no point. Like, I don't know. It's just.
I would say for Latinos, at least from my experience with, like, family members, it's not so much him in itself, but I know, like, church and religion is a huge piece of the conservative voting Republican.
Abortion
is a big topic.
That's the only reason why they support. And I'm like, that's
exactly. They hone in on certain aspects, and that's like that's what they commit to.
Anchor themselves to
they
that.
They anchor themselves to
and
that.
They run with it.
Right. Well, so listen. There's one guy that does care about you. But that is Big Lux.
Yes, it is.
He is in the room. I'm trying to get him to run for president.
Run for president.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
As you say that, I'm just putting a quick little post up of you, Chumahan. A great picture of you. I got some great pictures of these women.
Thank you. And and I also want to say Big Lux mentored me when I was an out of shape guy who needed to get off the booze. Big Lux was there.
Yeah. Nice.
That's true.
Yeah. And then he stayed off the booze for how long?
19 years.
19 years so far. And going.
I know. I'm like, are you still mentoring?
Yeah. You're off booze, dude?
I want to say I've cut it down by like
90-95%. I'm not going to.
Listen. You give Chumon a call. He could help you.
I could help you,
he
Mary.
Sponsor
but
you.
I can tell you.
It's not easy.
Listen. Quit like a woman.
Yeah,
I want the
like
one that says
woman.
Quit like a man.
No. Listen, let me tell you something.
Like a woman.
Mary, when I hear somebody say I'm trying to cut down, that's a red flag where I'm like, oh, there's an issue over there. There's no.
I'm trying to cut it out.
Right, but yeah, but
you're
I'm just
currently cutting down.
Yeah.
Right.
This has got to be one of my favorite ever. Top one or two shows I've ever done on a Hard Luck Show, everybody. I have to say that.
And we've done 278 now.
I mean, I am just I'm just so happy that you ladies are engaged in life.
Right.
You know, like, that you are doing for yourselves, that you're not waiting around for somebody to come do something for you. That you guys aren't fucking in trouble today. That you're not in somewhere
Mary.
Alone. You know, alone, suffering. And there's a lot of people out there that are alone, that are suffering, that don't have a home, that don't have clothes. And to know that you guys are all self-sufficient and showing up for your lives, and that a lot of you are giving back into the world, man, handing it down, passing it forward. Your community matters, that you guys matter to each other enough to still, that's consistency. Mm-hmm. That I'm impressed with all of you showing up today as a unit. I'm just blown away. I just want to continue to maybe do a better job at fostering this relationship that we have, and be more consistent in that. And Yolanda, I mean, it's always great to see you, and you're amazing. You always have been. And so I'm just, thank you, ladies. Thank you for making the time, each and every one of you today, to come down here. Huh?
Well, I just want to give you a shout out because I think you made it easy. You made our jobs easy. You made it easy to, you just stepped in and you took it and you worked with it and you did a great job at it. And look at these girls. I want to just say, like, I think you bringing us together, like, we already made a decision that we are going to continue this bond. Mm-hmm. I'm just very proud of them, and I'm not going to get too emotional.
Please do. Please.
I will.
Cry.
No, because I don't think they understand the impact that they have done in my life. Like, mm-hmm. speaking mm-hmm. as a parent, mm-hmm. you know, I made it a point to know their parents. Mm-hmm. Like, I met all of their parents back when I was with them because I needed them to know that they're in a safe place. But what I wanted to say is I think I needed you girls mm-hmm. more than you needed me. And it was, I felt like I didn't have that type of female. I mean, I have a great mom, a very supportive mom, but I didn't feel like I had that type of support that I knew I could give to them. Mm. And look at them now.
Right.
Look at them today.
And let me say, guys, to just follow up on her, yes, I did play a part in these ladies' lives. Yes, I got to contribute. But it was somebody like Yolanda, you know, that is really plays a big role and responsible in helping these women, because she was there before I came aboard and after I was. She saw this and started building this unity with these ladies before I ever showed up.
Right.
And I think this is a real testimony to you. I think partly we wanted to do the show partly so that you could have this experience as well. This mm-hmm. was a space for you too to see what happened.
Yeah,
you know?
and it just fell into place. Like,
yeah.
I would have never known 17, 18, 19 years ago. This is how long
right,
it's been.
Right, that we'd be.
That I would be knowing them as grown women and being so proud of them, yeah. because the reports we got from the school yeah. were very, very different.
Who was in continuation? Was somebody in continuation school?
I was at Olympic High, but yeah. I was just there for one semester.
One semester, and you got
together.
Back.
I came right
got
back.
Well, so.
And everybody here graduated?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody graduated.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, this is what I will say. That number one is an honor to meet the people that you mentored, Big Lux. I love to hear the back and forth and the experience. And Yolanda, of course, it's an honor for you to come on this show and for me to get to meet you. And I would also invite you girls back, ladies back, to talk about other topics and other
yes,
things
please.
Because our show is saturated with male point of view.
Yep.
And we'd be happy to
happy.
Have. Oh, we yeah.
Happy.
Oh, Yolanda. Yes. Just
we
was
would
like,
be
oh.
happy to have.
Yeah. So if you guys want to come back or make it maybe a regular check-in to come in and say, yeah. this is what the state of the world is from our perspective.
Right. You could do a show kind of like the brown version of the View. right? But this is your version. Your name is something else. You guys, come on.
Oh, you guys got a lot of La Vista.
La Vista.
La Vista.
Yeah.
So listen, this is a platform.
We want our own
podcast. Yes. Just come right in.
Come here.
Come on. We got it all set up. You. I'll donate Blue Eyes.
Yes. Right. Yeah. We'll donate. We'll throw Blue Eyes on
it. Yeah, he's on it. So, and also I want...
1 year free production from... Right? 1 year free production. Wow.
You know what? You guys,
sure about that.
Anybody here seen Yellow Jackets? Anybody watch Yellow Jackets?
I just binged last night.
I love that show. I love
Not Yellowstone?
No, no, no. Yellow Jackets. Yellowstone. It's, you know how it is
Fuck that.
No. I'm not going to say that, but because I'm Indian and there's some Indian stuff involved in it, people are like, you should see that. And then I'm like, I'm not going to see that now.
Yeah, yeah, okay, go.
But Yellow Jackets, one about a soccer team, girls in the forest. I'll watch that. Fantastic. All right. So we can maybe have you guys back. Called Brown Jackets, right? The podcast, Brown Jackets.
Brown Jackets, please.
Brown and Proud.
All right,
Proud.
Thank you. That's. I think I've said everything. Ollie just texted me, and he said, if any of you ladies steal his skateboard, you better run.
I just want to give a shout out to my son, who is in Dallas. His name is Daniel, and he's
Danny,
probably your biggest fan.
Oh, Daniel, shout out right now. Yolanda is going to give me all the info, and we're going to get you out a little Supermax pack.
Right. Sorry about the Cowboys, Daniel, but okay.
Oh, no, he's a Raider fan.
All right. Hey, so like we do about this time, it's Hasta La Vista from the Hard Luck Show.